This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly, Extra Time, Europa League and Europa Conference League edition. We've got the second leg of the playoffs coming up in both competitions. You're with Dan Roebuck and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. The show this year is running just shy of 5% return on investment. The boys are confident of pushing that figure a little higher come the end of the week. Just to recap what happened in both competitions last week from a betting standpoint, we had 4 of 8 winning favourites in both. Carabag, biggest price winner, plus 470 at Braga. In Europa League, we had 6 out of 8 overs and 6 out of 8 BTTS. Yes, it was 4 out of 8 for both those markets. For the Conference League, we saw Zagreb's win at Betis, the biggest price win on the card. It did feel, Steve, it was a bit wilder on Thursday opposed to what we saw on the Tuesday and Wednesday. Maybe that's just because there's more games, but certainly there were more goals when it came to the Europa League. How did you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I prefer it that way, Dan. I much prefer the Conference League and the Europa League. It fits much more into my wheelhouse. The teams are usually more offensive-minded. There's a little bit less pressure, certainly at this stage. And, I was pleased to hit my clean sweep, which was never in doubt, was it? I was fully losing 2 picks heading into injury time and ended up with a clean sweep. So it just shows you got to play till the final whistle. But there was a lot of wild stuff going on, even in the matches we didn't have picks in. But I quite like the gist of that, really.
Just the 3 away wins over the course of the games. Will, there were plenty of goals, as I've just rattled through, certainly the Europa League. I mean, any trends that caught your eye? Is it just the nature of the Europa League and the Conference League? Do we get these type of games where it's a bit more end-to-end, a bit more teams throwing caution to the wind? Harder for bettors in some way, but you always feel, as Steve has just said, even when the 90 goes up and the board goes up for 6 or 7 minutes of added-on time, you might be able to get something from a bet that's losing into added-on time.
Yeah, certainly the games can get a bit wild, and I think Steve makes the right point there. The pressure's kind of, teams feel a bit less pressure in these competitions than they do the Champions League. So I don't think you can apply the same kind of logic around game state. Home field advantage in European competition is generally a bit bigger than in domestic leagues. I normally give between 0.35 and 0.5 of a goal. So actually, if you think about average odds of between plus 300 and plus 400 on the away teams, 3 wins from 18 games, from 16 games, sorry, is not actually that surprising. So the other trend I did notice is that I continue to pick the wrong standout model value player as a pick of mine on this show. I went with Servet, big model value. They absolutely bossed the game. Don't know how they didn't get the win. And the 2 that I passed up on were both Bodø/Glimt on the handicap and the other Norwegian team, Molde, both massive model value for me. But the winter break put me off, and so I avoided both those. And hopefully, we can write that this week.
That miss from Servet.
I was about to say, did you see the Servet miss?
That was outrageous.
That miss was, yeah. Did we all see?
Oh yeah. Well, saw it after the fact.
I'm watching it live, and I was like, "What?" Because they would have won the game. I think it was about 8 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And I can't. That was just such a bad beat for Will.
I missed it, but it sounds like it was terrible.
Yeah, the guy had he had an open goal from 5-6 yards out, and he had one of his own players in front of him somehow that was trying to jump out of the way, but somehow he hit it straight into him, and one of the most outrageous misses I've ever seen.
Yeah, bad beat for
not
for
top Sevilla, 10.
No. Ajax and Betis, 2 teams towards the top of the betting in the conference market, RJ. They could easily go out of the competition after poor results at home last week. I mean, we're going to talk about Ajax extensively in a minute, but I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I hate to trot out the, you know, how seriously a certain team's taking it, but Betis, you thought, you know, good home record, should be able to beat Zagreb. We put them up, Rory put them up, throwing Rory under the bus again here, aren't we, for the second show running, put them up at the weekend as well. It's just one of those things that on reflection, they were both around about 5th, 6th favourites in the market, but they could easily go out of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, but both these sides dropped from the Europa League, right, to the Conference League and became you know, favorites just by nature of I think historical performances. But I think, and I've kind of dogged, you know, to be fair, the Conference League a little bit, but the revenue generated between the Conference League and the Europa League is like somewhere around 500 million euros. There's a ton of money here. And both these teams, I don't think they take the matches seriously, but it's just a reflection of the form, right? I think it's just a sheer reflection of the form, whether it's Conference League, Europa League, domestically, both these sides are just mediocre right now, to be fair. And I think this is why I wouldn't be too surprised to see both these teams exit at some point.
It's a really good point because both have struggled domestically. Ajax, we know, have struggled pretty much all season long, and they've both dropped out of better competitions. And maybe that's something we should have taken a closer look at last week. We are going to take a closer look at Ajax's game because they are away at Bodeglimt. This is our first preview, and all of our handicappers have got selections in it. 12:45 Eastern on Thursday. Bodeglimt are +145. Ajax +160, draw +290. I'm on commentary for this one as well, so we've all got vested interests here. Steve, you went over 3.25 last week for total goals, which did cash, but only just.
Yeah, and do you know what? What a game. I mean, there's a lot of interest, isn't there, in this tie, it feels like. You know, obviously, Ajax are a big name. Glimt are always a sort of a success story in Europe that everyone wants to get behind. I think we're just saying off air, you know, in the summer, there's a lot of interest in the Norwegian leagues now for various different reasons, whether it be betting or fantasy or whatever. So, it was a great watch. It was a fascinating watch. I thought Bodeglimt outplayed Ajax for 85 minutes of that game. I mean, they might look back on it and think, how on earth did we not win that 3 or 4 nil, really? Ajax were awful. I thought they were dire. I don't know how they managed to get back in it. The penalty and then, you know, a goal near enough with the last kick of the game. So it was not a very deserved draw for Ajax. I absolutely love the two picks that these gentlemen have got after me on the game. I really love those. And I thought, how can I get even more value out of this game? So the pick that I'm going with is, I wouldn't normally touch the first half market that often, but I really like Bodeglimt -0.25 on the Asian handicap for the first half, at +138 with Bet Rivers. Now, this is a tough place to go, and you can give me as many cards as you want for that. This is inside the Arctic Circle. There's only Tromso that is a more northerly professional soccer club in the world. Lots of teams have come here and struggled, and they've got a brilliant record at Aspmyra Stadion since. They've qualified for these European events, and Glimt are known for coming out of the traps quickly, both domestically and in Europe. 15-3-3 half-time record at home since they've gone into the European competitions. Only three sides have been beating them at the interval at this stadium. Roma under Jose Mourinho, Club Brugge, and for some reason, Norwegian teams have problems with Belgian teams. So it's a weird one. So that doesn't surprise me. And then Lecce Warsaw, that was 2 or 3 years ago now, though, in the middle of summer. Now, we're not in the middle of summer now. It's going to be below freezing up there on Thursday night. Ajax look worse than them at home anyway. I think they're going to really struggle on this. There'll be excuses going around about the artificial surface and everything. I think Glimt will come out really hard at them, and I definitely see them leading at halftime. So, you know, I think Jens Petter Haga looked like he was ripping through knife through butter on the left-hand side. I think he is a great bet to score any time here. I think he wants to score. The only issue is probably the striker replacement. That might take a bit of time for them to settle in. But one thing I noticed about the Norwegian teams in the first leg, they did struggle in the second half. Both of them lost the second half. Maybe that's to do with a bit of rust on the winter break. But I certainly think Glimt come out of the traps very quickly here. I think they'll win the game overall anyway, but I'm very confident they were at halftime will be ahead. And even if it's a draw, we're only losing half with this handicap.
Well, you mentioned that you were going to put up Buda. It was on your shortlist last week. This week, you are potting them up, not over the 45, over the 90, though. You think that Buda could be some value on the Asian line?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I want to say, actually, I just want to point out that Steve's pick, the price on that, +138. So he really is squeezing squeezing a bit more value out of this pick. I've kind of gone a bit safer on the full game main Asian line, Boda plus 0.00, which is draw no bet at minus 103. I mean, a lot of the reasons that I have noted down are being very well explained by Steve, and I'm not going to try and outknowledge him on Norwegian football, that's for sure. They were incredibly unlucky, to lose the first leg. That penalty, so they were 2-0 up until the 91st minute when they conceded a penalty and had a man sent off after a VAR review. I thought it was a very, very harsh penalty myself. And so they quite easily could be coming away with a 2-0 victory into this second leg. And in fact, if they had come away with a 2-0 victory, I probably wouldn't be backing them on the plus zero Asian line here, because they could afford to lose this second leg by one goal or draw it. So, you know, all is on the line here for this this second leg. And as Steve mentioned, Boda have a very, very high home field advantage, probably one of the highest in European football. They play on an artificial surface. They're inside of the Arctic Circle. Tough conditions, and there will be lots of excuses going around the Ajax dressing room if they somehow manage to go out here. And I think they will probably go out here. If you look at some of the scalps that Boda have taken at the Asmira Stadion over the past few seasons, Roma twice at home, including a 6-1 drubbing a few seasons ago. They've also beaten Celtic, AZ Alkmaar, and Besiktas this season. Now, those are some pretty big European names. And I'd argue that those clubs, the times they were beaten by Boda, were in better form than Ajax are this season. Last week's away fixture was Bodo's first competitive fixture after the winter break this season. So you'd like to think their fitness and general sharpness is likely to improve here. Ajax, on the other hand, their form continues to be extremely poor. They were held to a 2-2 draw at home to NEC last weekend. They currently sit fifth in the Eredivisie. Their defence is particularly porous and a concern for them. They're conceding an average of 2 goals a game over the last 8 games. And I can see Boda really troubling them with the likes of Hauge, as Steve mentions. I can see Boda scoring 2 or 3 times here. And it's hard to kind of overcome a draw-no-bet line if you're conceding that many goals. So it's hard to back against goals here. It could turn into a shootout. But I think in the balance of probability, Boda have a much higher chance of winning the game than Ajax do. So very happy to back them on the draw no bet line.
Jens Peder Hagen, incidentally, plus 800 to get the first goal. Bet Rivers traders still not aware that Pellegrino has left the club. They've got him in his favourite at plus 460. So Bet Rivers, if you're listening, you can take him out. He's currently suiting up for the Quakes, as we mentioned last week. The boys, RJ, have talked about goals wielded anyway and the fact that Ajax aren't great defensively, and that will bode well for your particular play here, because you're not necessarily signing with Bodø/Glimt, but you'd like them to score some goals. You've gone for the overs here.
Yeah, as you said, I think it bode well for Bodø for the goals here. I think over 3.25 at minus 121 was a standout play for me, right? The first leg was a 2-2 draw, so it leaves all to play for here in the Arctic Circle, or near the Arctic Circle, like Steve said. Ajax have been just a mixed bag in terms of results. They've scored 14 goals, I think, in their last around 5 matches. Chuba Akpom has been a key player for Ajax this season. They did rest him over the weekend against NEC. He didn't play. He scored 9 goals in the Eredivisie and Europa League, so despite only starting 4 times. They obviously out Steve Bergwijn due to injuries, which, you know, it's been limiting their options over the last few matches. And, you know, Bodø, you know, they've shown good form in recent friendlies. And I think, you know, in this last match, but we talked about that, right, last time, where some of these European leagues, like the summer leagues, like Sweden, Norway, where these teams haven't really played a competitive match in a few months, how they would fare. And I think we all, especially myself, kind of factored that in from a heavy weight perspective. Well, if they haven't played a competitive match in a few months and then they're facing some strong powerhouse European teams, then they'll probably look pretty poor. They might have some rust, but, you know, they made it out with a draw in the first leg, which was very surprising in my opinion. But they're back home a strong place for them. They have a bunch of key players. Both sides have key players due to injuries. But honestly, I think based on the first leg and what to expect here, this looks like a high-flying match. Hopefully Bodo comes out on top and we see four plus goals to cash all these bets here. So yeah, over 3.25 at -121 is my play.
So three picks from the boys here. Just to recap, Steve's gone for Bodo Glimt, -0.25 first half Asian handicap at +138. Will's gone for Bodo Glimt effectively on the draw, no bet, +0 at -103. And RJ over 3.25 goals on the Asian line at -121.
Can I just say, Dan, before we move on, I thought you called the game very well from a commentator. Well, the commentators don't get enough praise sometimes, but there's some tough names on there. You did very well, mate.
Very tough names. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Looking forward to it again, second leg.
Yeah, no, exactly. Tune in worldwide, everybody. Make sure you can, double the audience. If we've got Steve, there's one. My mom, there's
this week.
My mom, there's two. And we've got Will and RJ, that's four. Excellent. Lovely. And my friends at the Nordic Pod as well. Toulouse against Benfica next week, and take a look at. This is in the Europa League. All the next picks, all in the Europa League. We've done our conference corner stint. This is Thursday, 12:45. Toulouse +335. Benfica, who lead from the first leg, 2-1, -127. The draw +280 here. There was a few naysayers during the game suggesting that Steve's bet was not going to cut over, but it did, as Benfica left it fairly late. Toulouse, though, did you no favours at the weekend, Steve? They're inching towards the Real Sociedad, Cagliari, Darmstadt, and whichever other teams we've got in the naughty corner at the moment. What are your thoughts on this one?
I always did love Angel Di Maria, didn't I? he did me a big favour last week by scoring two. I would have been disappointed if I'd not cashed the over here last week on this game, because there was a lot of, it was an end-to-end game. I thought I called it well. And, there was a lot of shots. Expected goals was really high for Benfica especially. But to be honest with you, I've got to give Toulouse a bit of credit this week. They've played a lot better than I thought they would do. In fact, I was actually getting a tweet ready for Thursday night if the match had ended 1-1, and I was going to say fair play, because I think the last two games of Toulouse, you've got to watch them to actually realise how well they've played, because the expected goals metrics and all the stats and stuff would suggest that Benfica and Monaco should have easily beaten them. But I didn't think that was the case. I thought they prepared two really good counter-attacking game plans. They've looked a threat. They've not just sat back, and they've had a good go. And for some reason, Toulouse have got a lot of energy about them. I couldn't believe how they were like buzzing like bees on Sunday. I mean, and part of that reason is because Monaco are just absolutely lazy idiots half the time, swanning it around on the south coast of France. They do my head in. But that's for another day. But Toulouse, I don't really get where they're getting all their energy from, I think they're bang up for it. They're maybe enjoying being involved in Europe. So it's the same bet for me again as last week, over 2.75 goals. Half cash last week. I'd take the same again. But fundamentally, if Benfica score a goal here, which I think they will, Toulouse have got to go for it, haven't they? And they've got to open up. The dynamics do change if Toulouse scored the first goal. Then it maybe does get interesting. But Benfica are by far the better side. Let's be honest, on paper, I think they'll get through. But maybe not without a fight from Toulouse. They, like I say, I've been surprised their standard of their performance the last couple of games. I don't know where they've got it from. It doesn't make logical sense. I mean, they shouldn't be playing as well as they have been, but this is going to be a very similar tie, the first leg, in my opinion, quite open, goals at both ends. And I think something like a 2-2 draw, Benfica maybe 2-1, 3-2 win is on the cards. I like the over again. Stick with what won for me last week.
Also Thursday, 12:45, Karabakh against Braga. We mentioned that Karabakh were the biggest price winner across all three European competitions last week. They were +215 to go in again. They beat Braga 4-2 in Portugal, +123 for a Portuguese success, +250 for the draw. I mean, RJ, for me, and this is obviously recency bias and looking at it very simplistically, I mean, is +215 tempting again on the money line for another win here for Karabakh, do you think, RJ?
I believe it is, Dan.
I know it's not your pick, but I just thought I'd throw that one at you anyway.
I like curveballs. So yeah, the Dan, simply, I think it's tempting because one reason mainly, Karabag had rest this weekend, right? They did not play domestically. They had some time to rest, recover. Whereas Braga did end up playing yesterday at home against Ferenc in the Portuguese league. They won 2-1. Bailey snuck that one out. And two factors, right? I didn't look up the distance of travel here, but Braga has to travel to Karabag.
A long way,
right? I figure it's
deep in the 2,500 kilometers, I think, something like that. It's
outrageous.
Stat from Wales.
So I think great help there, gents, with the distance there. So yeah. So
it's like a local derby in the States, isn't it? That 2,500 kilometers.
they'll drive it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Night out, 2,500. Yeah, let's get in the car and do it. Sorry, quick, go on, RJ.
No, it's a quick. Yeah, no. I'm in Rhode Island. The state is like 35 miles wide. If we have to drive 45 minutes, we're like, oh, we got to go all that way. So I'm kind of spoiled here. But yeah, no. So Braga has to travel quite a distance to Azerbaijan. I know they're not playing at their home stadium, but they're playing at Tofik Bahram Stadium. So it's still in their representative country. And as I said, Braga had an extra match thrown in their schedule, or just a domestic match. So Karabag's much more rested. They're you know, sitting on the 4-2 win, which was a shock last week. I don't think they're just going to sit back on their heels, though, because like Steve talked about in the previous match he just covered, if Braga gets on the board early here, it's full go, right? They're not just going to just, you know, rest on that two goal lead that they have. And you looked at the XG from the first match. I think it was 2.4 plus XG for both these sides in the first leg. I'm not an XG guy whatsoever, so take it what you will. But metrics driven, there was a lot of quality chances for both these sides, and I expect that to continue. Karabag were led by Abdellah Zubair, formerly of Lens many moons ago. Steve, you might know about that gentleman there, but
I'm not actually sure.
Well, I don't mean nine years ago, but I'm trying to call you out. I just didn't know if you knew him from his time in Ligue 1, but he led the way, two goals for this side. I think this, you look at this Karabag team, there's just a slew of players from Brazil, all over Europe, all over South America. They have a pretty impressive squad, and high flying match. I think, again, I expect goals to fly. And to be fair, this might be one of those matches I consider laddering, right? Over 2.75, maybe over 3, over 3.5, just to push the luck. And I don't like doing that. I'm a straight single unit better, but this has a match that I think you could take advantage of the goals as it goes up the odds.
What happened here last week? Because if I was going to have a fourth pick last week, it was going to be Braga on the handicap. And it only put me off because they only tend to win matches by one goal. I was looking at like Braga win 2-0 and everything. Karabag, 4-2. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this. Like, I don't understand it at all. But Karabag, I'm guessing, will have, on your model, will a really strong home advantage, though, because of the distance.
Yeah, they do, yeah. I did watch highlights of the Braga-Karabag first leg. And Karabag, I just think the market's underestimating them, really. They did look really, really dangerous, and I actually really like Dan's angle on this game. I don't think they should be underdogs at home here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the overs too, but yeah, I don't think Braga are going to keep them off the score sheet.
Do you know who the stadium's named after, RJ?
I do not, Dan.
Steve, well, it's no. The Tofik Baramov Stadium.
Well, who's good he?
Who's this gentleman?
He was the linesman in the 1966 World Cup final.
Oh, yeah, right back in your day, that.
It's not way before my time, but obviously, you know, he gave a goal for England that really shouldn't have stood. Anyway, we'll move on. American betters.
Can, so they name a stadium after him because
he was a referee. He's a famous referee. Okay. But from an English point of view, he's sort of lauded. If you're German, he's an infamous official because I'm sure those that have watched footage of the 1966 World Cup final, one of the goals that England scored was allowed. And if it was in the VAR era, it just would not have allowed because the ball didn't cross the line. And the assistant or the referee, the linesman, as it was called at the time, was Tofik Baramov, who... famous and has a stadium named after him. Anyway, we'll move on. Sporting versus Young Boys next, 3 p.m., later kickoff for everyone. Sporting are plus 315, Young Boys plus 750. Sporting winning the first leg 3-1 away from the cashed for overs players. RJ highlighted this one last week. It's a high goal line, Will, this time. It's a high Asian line as well. Sporting are at home, though, this time around, and you believe that they're going to cover the handicap here?
Yeah, there's some correlation between backing the favourite on the Asian line and overs, generally speaking. And I've opted to go with Lisbon here. With Sporting here, sorry. I'll get told off for calling them Lisbon. I've gone for them on the -1.5 line at -107. It's not really my style to back big favourites like this, but I do have some reasoning here, despite them being up 3-1 from the first leg. It's there's no denying that Sporting are one of Europe's form teams. They've won 25 out of the last 30. They were dominant 3-1 winners in the first leg here. And in Viktor Gyökeres, they have one of Europe's in-form top strikers. I have them rated the best team in Portugal. And actually, the market validated this claim as they were smashed into one-goal favourites in the first leg. They opened -0.5 and got smashed all the way into -1, and a half a goal move is definitely something to pay attention to. If we allocate 0.4 of a goal home field advantage both sides, that should take the fair line to -1.75-ish here. And we're looking at a -1.5 line. I think the market's discounting for Sporting already being up 2 goals from the first leg. And that does make some sense. Often when the bigger, better teams are up from first legs in the second leg, they'll look to rest and rotate, especially if they've got competitive domestic league situations. However, Sporting did rotate a little in the first leg and it didn't really make much difference. The bench players they have coming in, such as Marcus Edwards, Paulinho, etc., do have more than enough quality and are all fighting for a regular starting 11 place. I actually think it could be Young Boys that are less motivated of the two in this one, given that they play their closest rivals in the Swiss league, my beloved Servette, on Sunday. There's a chance they could throw in the towel here, and that really could be dangerous against a Viktor Gyökeres-led Sporting team. Viktor Gyökeres, interestingly, has only not started one out of 26 competitive fixtures this season. So it kind of often these big name players will get rested for less games that are less down the priority list, but he seems to be a guy that enjoys rhythm and he's likely to start here then. And I can see him feasting on a Young Boys defense, which has conceded 13 goals and 6 Champions League group stage games and 3 in the first leg here versus Sporting. I think Sporting really are a Champions League quality outfit, and the -1.5 goal line, I can see them, Asian line, sorry, I can see them blowing that away.
It's interesting that the second place, aren't they, in Portugal? They've got games in hand on Benfica. Ruben Amorim, I noted, third favourite to get the Liverpool job, which I didn't know anything from sort of 6-1 to 14-1, basically behind Xabi Alonso and Roberto Di Zerbi. So maybe a watching brief for Liverpool fans as well when it comes to see how Sporting play, but they're a good side, as Will has pointed out. One more pick to bring you. It's Sparta Prague against Galatasaray here. Steve's got some thoughts for us. Sparta Prague are plus 163, Galatasaray plus 160, draw plus 250. 3-2 Gala win last week. RJ just failed with the corners. I think we needed one more, RJ. Did with 10 minutes to go. I was just seeing the ticker.
Yeah.
It got to nine. We needed one more. I can't believe it.
I was following it. I was, as you know, I was on vacation last week, and I was on the beach. I was like, oh, there's about 12, 15 minutes left. We need one corner. I'm going to go take a dip in the ocean, come back, expect to see a couple more. And then I look, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I just could not believe it. It's not corners we're interested in. It is goals and plenty of entertainment, obviously, in a 5-goal affair last week, Steve, and you're predicting more as well. I think there's a couple of red cards as well, wasn't there, last week?
I don't know how RJ didn't cash with the corners. Mm. Even with the last kick of the game, there was a deflection, an attempted cross, and it deflected just for a throw. And I was like, well, I couldn't believe it. But looking back, it was this was a game I should have got involved in last week. I should have been on the overs. Because both sides just have a knack of getting involved in so many high-scoring contests this season. Galatasaray really only play one way, don't they? In Europe especially. Just that one under for them in the whole campaign, and that was in Copenhagen. Weird last group game where, you know, Copenhagen managed to hold on for the 1-0. But most of the time, Galatasaray really offensive, really attacking. But you certainly would fancy getting at the defence, wouldn't you? And I actually believe Sparta Prague are underrated here. They're a very, very slight dog with Bet Rivers, which I think is a bit unfair on them. They've got qualities, and they've already scored twice on them. I think they'll fancy the chances of taking this to at least extra time. But the bet I like is the goals, over 2.75 goals at minus 109. And, you know, if Galatasaray especially scored the first goal, it really is game on here. And even if Sparta go ahead, I think, it depends on the time of the game, but Galatasaray aren't just going to settle back for 1-0 defeat an extra time, are they? They're going to go looking themselves. There's enough offensive weapons both ends of the field. And, you know, Sparta Prague are a sort of side, you know, again, in the European campaign, just two unders for them. One of those was against Rangers at home, where the goalkeeper had a great game for Rangers. I think there was bodies on the line, typical sort of Scottish brave performance away from home. And they had one other under against Real Betis. And Betis are one of those annoying sides who just don't really convert their chances, are they? So, yeah, I think ultimately there's enough defensive doubts and offensive qualities. It should be. It could be 3-2 again. You know, it wouldn't shock me at all. Crazy stuff could happen here. Another red somewhere. Just high octane, high energy. Typical Europa Conference League clash that we love on this show. So I like the goals.
And just before we wrap up, and we'll get some best bets as well in a sec, Steve, you just want to mention Marseille, because you're always across how Marseille are doing, and the news through earlier today that Gennaro Gattuso has been sacked there, of course, in European action against Shakhtar, 2-2 draw in Hamburg last week. They are favourites to win in the 19th in the return leg. What's your thoughts on Gattuso going and how Marseille might react to that in terms of a bet in this week's tie?
Well, you may have noticed I do have a bit of a spring in my step today, and that's kind of one of the reasons, because it just wasn't working for Gattuso at Marseille. I think it's the right... I actually thought they'd maybe hang on to the end of the season with him, but it's the right decision. It's turgid football. Sunday night was depressing. They basically just went there to kick breast and time waste and play for a 0-0 draw, even against 10 men. So something had to change. But, you know, this is a good question for you, Dan, and to the two boys. Now, would you back Marseille at minus 137 on the money line to beat Shakhtar Donetsk? And I think that's a really good question. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer.
I don't say, I don't think I would do, not at minus money. But not having watched the Bielik game last night.
There'll be a better feeling around the club. There might be a completely new approach. I don't think there'll be a new manager in place yet. There's rumours that it might be Jean-Louis Gasset, who famously lost his job halfway through the African Nations Tournament with Ivory Coast. And then, of course, they went on to win it. And Christophe Galtier is in the mixer as well. That would be a rather interesting one, wouldn't it? Former PSG boss. But he doesn't know how to win things. So, this is one of these matches where you've got probably the wise thing would be to sit and watch and see what happens and see how the players respond to, you know, the manager departing. But, I mean, that minus 137, Shakhtar Donetsk are not that good a side, are they? I mean,
you saying minus 137 is a bit of a bet?
It could be big. I mean, I do have a habit of underestimating Shakhtar down the years, but really Marseille should be winning the second leg at home to them. Come on,
anyone else? Marseille,
I mean, who's up for, is Irv, you know who caught my eye, that especially during the World Cup, was the Herve Renard, the coach for Saudi Arabia.
Well, I bet he caught your eye. He's very attractive, isn't he?
Well, no.
Do you know Hervé Renard's in charge of, right? So he's in charge of the French women's national team right now.
Is that what it is? He caught my eye because the Saudi Arabia team.
Quite a random pivot. It's quite a random pivot there, RJ.
Yeah, well, we were talking about coaches that were available.
I would love him at Marseille. He's a great manager. He's one of the best looking managers out there.
It looks like he should be in a Bond movie or something like that, right? It looks like he could play the next Bond. Anyways.
Do you know, I didn't know he was in charge of French women. Yeah, Saudi Arabia. I mean, he's been all over Africa, isn't he? That's his stick. He's had that, just looking at his wiki page, he's had a couple of club jobs, Sochaux and Lille. Don't think he's... Has he done anything with either of those two? Apparently not. Not according to the wiki. Will, just finally, minus 137. Marseille, it was a sharp intake of breath from you there. Not fancy them.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't have a clue. I have a habit of overestimating Shakhtar. So my inclination would be the one minus 137, did you say?
Yeah,
it feels a bit short, but then Marseille do have quality in their squad. I think if Gattuso were in charge, I certainly wouldn't be touching that with a barge pole. In fact, I'd maybe be looking at Shakhtar plus 3/4 on the Asian line. But given the potential impetus from a change of manager, or at least having Gattuso out the door, yeah, I think maybe they're justified favourites.
Best bets before we wrap up. RJ, what's your best bet across your plays when it comes to the Europa League and the Conference League this Thursday?
This is the easiest decision I've had to make in a few weeks. It's Karabag, Braga over 2.75.
Steve.
Oh, I love a lot of picks on this show from everyone. But I will go with the Benfica, Toulouse-Benfica over 2.75.
Will?
I'm glad Steve went with that. It leaves me free rein to go with a Boda on the Drono bet minus 103. Wouldn't want to make it two shows running where Steve and I have the same best bets. But yeah, fancy Boda strongly.
Yeah, I think that for me potentially is going to be the best bet. Should be a really good game as well. I think all three have got a significant chance of cashing. Let's hope so. Let's hope we can get a back-to-back profitable shows when it comes to the Europa League. That does wrap it up for Betting Weekly Extra Time, Europa League and Conference League edition. Many thanks to Steve, Will and RJ. You can stay up to date with all of our content, of course, from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.